Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited Q3 and 9 months FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf from Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Advanced Enzymes third quarter and 9 months 22 earnings conference call. I am Ronak Saraf, the Manager Investor Relations at Advanced Enzymes. I hope you all have received our financials, press release, and the presentations, which has been posted in the Investor Relations section of our website. We have with us Mr. Mukund Kabra, the whole-time director, and Mr. Beni Prasad Rauka, the group CFO. Today, the management will discuss performance and business highlights, updates on strategy, and respond to any questions that you may have. As is usual, for ease of discussion, we will look at the consolidated financials. Before we proceed, I would request you all to please read the forward-looking statement disclaimer contained in the presentation. During our call, we may forward-looking statement regarding our expectation or prediction about the future, because these statements are based on current assumptions and factors that may involve risk and uncertainty. Our actual performance and results may differ materially from our forward-looking statements. So without any further ado, we shall commence this call. Over to you, Mr. Kabra.
Thank you, Ronak. Good evening, everyone. I really appreciate and welcome you all to the conference call for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2021. At the onset, I hope everyone is healthy, safe, and taking all the necessary precautions in the wake of the third wave of COVID-19. At Advanced Enzymes, we are committed towards protecting health and well-being of our employees and their families. We continue to implement rigorous safety and hygiene measures across all locations without any compromise and provided work shift flexibility wherever possible. Since our last earnings call, the world has continued to face unprecedented challenges both on health and economic front. During the last quarter, our industry has faced multiple headwinds due to the logistics, raw material availability, and high prices, especially for the solvents, coal, etc. Most of the solvent prices are on all-time high. I believe the supply chain and logistic cost situation will continue to remain a challenge. Our free cash generation and operating efficiency will continue to drive our strong net cash positions. We made conscious decision to stock up on inventory so as not to hamper our production and ensure smooth supply to our esteemed customers. I will start this call by sharing with you the evening updates for the third quarter 2022 and segment-wise performance. Our revenue declined by 3% on year-on-year basis to rupees 1,336 million. Our EBITDA declined by 26% to rupees 491 million during the quarter. Our PAT declined by 35% to rupees 286 million. EBITDA margin stood at 37%, while PAT margin stood at 21% during the quarter. The impact in the operating margin is because of high input cost. We are finding unprecedented increase in almost all the input materials, including fuel and logistic costs. In the 9 months, the highlights are as this. Our revenue grew by 8% on year-on-year basis to rupees 3,976 million. Our EBITDA decreased by 9% to rupees 1,612 million. Our PAT declined by 16% and stood at rupees 985 million. EBITDA margin stood at 41%, while PAT margin stood at 25% during the period. Now I will take you through the segment-wise revenue. The human nutrition contributed 59%. Animal nutrition contributed 10%. Industrial bioprocessing contributed 12%. And specialized manufacturing contributed 9%. In the total revenue during the quarter as well as in the 9 months, the human nutrition segment degrew by 16% to rupees 918 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to rupees 1089 million in quarter 3 financial year 21 and remained flat on quarter on quarter basis. The animal nutrition segment has outperformed during the quarter by 26% to rupees 132 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as against rupees 105 million in quarter 3 financial year 21, while it grew by 19% in the 9 months on year basis. The bioprocessing segment registered a decline of 13% during the quarter. It stood at rupees 160 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to rupees 183 million in quarter 3 financial year 21, while it grew by 35% on quarter on quarter basis. In this segment, food business contributed 9% and stood at rupees 115 million, down 5% year on year basis, while the non-food business contributed 3% and stood at rupees 44 million, down 27% year on year basis during quarter 3 financial year 22. The food and non-food business grew by 35% and 36% respectively on quarter basis. The specialized manufacturing segment contributed rupees 1 to 5 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to rupees 97 million in quarter 2 financial year 22. It has registered a growth of 30% on quarter-on-quarter basis. Now I will talk about the geographical split of the revenues. The domestic sales contributed about 43% in the revenue from operation during quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to 52% during quarter 3 financial year 21. Domestic sales underperformed by 20%. It stood at rupees 571 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to rupees 717 million in quarter 3 financial year 21. While it remained flat on quarter basis. International sales were 57% of revenue from operation as compared to 48% during quarter 3 financial year 21. International sales amounting to rupees 764 million in quarter 3 financial year 22 as compared to rupees 660 million in quarter 3 financial year 21, a jump of 16%. The revenue grew by 4% in America, while it grew by 2% in Europe and strong 262% in Asia ex India. The rest of the world registered a growth of 86% on year-on-year basis. On quarter-on-quarter basis, the international sales grew by 13%. The revenue grew by 10% in America, 49% in Europe, and strong 934% in the rest of the world. The Asia ex-India declined by 17%. Now, I will now hand over the call to Raukaji, and he will walk you through the financials and key subsidiary numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mukul. Good evening, everyone. I hope you all are in good health. Now, I will just take you through the company's financials for the third quarter, FY22, and then for 9 months, FY22. On year-on basis, our revenue is down by 41 million from 1336 million to 1377 million. EBITDA is decreased by 173 million from 664 million to 491 million. Profit before tax decreased by 197 million from 609 million to 412 million. PAT is decreased by 157 million from 443 million to 286 million, which is about 21% as compared to 32%. On quarter-on-quarter basis, our revenue is increased by 65 million, 5% growth from 127 million to 1,336 million. EBITDA is flat and it's about 491 as compared to 493 million. Profit before tax is also flat at about 412 million as compared to 413 million. PAT is decreased by about 17 million from 303 million to 286 million. Our finance cost remained unchanged at about 3 million during the quarter. Depreciation and amortization charge is up at 88 million as compared to 65 million due to the inclusion of the financials of SSPL. On year-on-year basis for 9 months, revenue is increased by 290 million, 8% increase from 3,686 million to 3,967 million. EBITDA is decreased by about 9% from 1,766 million to 1,612 million. Profit before tax is also decreased by about 255 million from 1,626 million to 1,371 million. PAT is decreased by about 192 million from 1,177 million to 985 million. The PAT margin is at 25% for 9 months as compared to 32% during FY 2022 for 9 months. EVOX during this quarter performed at revenue of 47 million, EBITDA of 12 million, and even it's the PAT positive of about 1 million as compared to 62 million of top line and 9 million of EBITDA and PAT of negative 2 million corresponding last year quarter. JC Biotech sales during the quarter stood at 92 million and EBITDA stood at 32 million and PAT of 16 million. Our largest selling product, which is anti-inflammatory enzyme, stood at 279 million during this quarter as compared to 365 million in quarter three of FY 2021. There is a degrowth of about 24%. Top 10 customers contributed about 30% of our revenue as compared to 47% in Q3 of FY 2021. B2C sale is contributed about 1.55 million as compared to 1.54 million during the same period previous year. This is all about, you know, the various highlights of our financials for the quarter as compared to quarter two and quarter three of last year and the 9 months. Now we open the session for question and answer, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Benny sir, I think I hope you are well now. So,
yes, thank you.
Few things on the broader picture. In last quarter or two, we have indicated that inventory has piled up significantly. So how that number has been in this quarter, and what kind of basically challenges we are seeing right now in terms of pushing our products or increasing our sales, as considering the fact that during the COVID time we were slightly anticipating that this kind of probiotic sales would be much better during this COVID time, and it would have incremental sales for maybe you can say probiotic products. So how things are panning right now, and where we are actually facing major hurdle?
Mr. Sinha, please repeat your question.
So, sir, I just wanted to understand what is the basic hurdle we are facing right now in terms of scaling our revenue, as we are earlier, as we are expecting that during this COVID time, there would be some incremental sales from the probiotic side going forward also. So, where is the major concern for us, and when this thing look to be normalized going forward, and also how the inventory level right now is standing as of now?
So Rohit, there are multiple questions. On the inventory level front, we are maintaining the same inventory what we had a quarter before, and we are keeping the same level, which is on a higher side. On the probiotic side, this year was a little bit on a lower because some of the customers who had already bought too much of probiotics and piled up their inventories are really slow for this year. So the situation, and we are facing a lot of hurdles in terms of like logistics and the escalation in the cost. So logistic is playing a role where like we are not able to really push the material, most of the material in the export market. Also logistic is also giving the higher raw material prices in many areas like coal and other, etc. And even like in the some of the developments, for example, biocatalyst, where you are like already developed the materials or the enzymes for the biocatalyst, but the logistic at their end is also not helping them to convert it into the new methods, right? So logistic is playing a real like a spoiler out here. Even if saying that, like I expect the inventory problem and other problems should be normalized from the first quarter of the next year. And I expect logistics should be in control by the second quarter of the next year. So my gut feeling is from the first quarter of the next year, we should start coming back onto the track.
Okay. That's good. Secondly, on the pricing side, just wanted to understand how things are going on for us, as we have seen for other companies like input prices have gone up significantly, but simultaneously they have also passed on a lot of things to the customer, and that's the reason their top lines are higher by almost 30-40% on YoY basis, but obviously margins are also compressed. But still, top line has been on the much higher side. So just wanted to know where we are standing, and is there any price increase pending for us going forward? It could reflect in maybe in 1-2 quarters.
We are in a different industry, and at this point of time, we are really not thinking like to pass on the prices. In areas like where we can pass on, we already started working on it. The best way for us is like to increase the sales, and that's where the whole like focus is.
Okay, okay. So I mean, going forward, where we should see this margin profile, which has hit almost a 4-year low at this time. But obviously, I understand that a lot of things are there. But when these things get normalized, do we get back to that 44-45% kind of EBITDA level, or because of this SSPL inclusion, still that mark would be a bit away from us?
I hope that we should be in a normal course. Should be our EBITDA should be between 40-48%. We should continue that. Right. So I don't see there is any reason why we should.
And that would be achieved when our sales would be slightly improved, I guess. I mean, if that is flat kind of number, the margins would still remain on the lower side. So in order to push margin, our sales from here on would also need to be on the higher side, correct?
That is right.
Okay. And just want to know your thoughts on going forward into newer products, if at all we are working on. As I mean, obviously we have been catering to a lot of pharma players as of now. So going forward, where our targeted area could be, and any thoughts on that?
So we repeatedly talked about our targeted areas. All the research is driven into that direction. Particularly, like, our focus areas are well defined. We are working on, like, a lot of work is being going into probiotics in their clinical trials. A lot of work is going on, like, on the nutraceutical side and their clinical side. A lot of new enzymes being developed for the food and which are under the pipelines. A lot of new developments and the new enzyme developments are going on in the biocatalyst area, and the different product formation and different presentation is going on in the animal nutrition side. So these are the focus areas, and all the R&D is being really focusing into all of these 5 different areas.
So majorly, I mean, whatever the existing segments are, we are focusing more into expanding those segments moving forward, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's it from my side. I'll come back into it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. I just have a couple of questions. Could you tell us the increase in logistics cost quarter on quarter and year on year as a percentage?
Yeah.
And so logistics for raw materials as well?
Yes, Shikha. We'll give some numbers to you as far as you are talking about only logistic cost increase, right?
Right.
Okay. So in the, you know, quarter three, if we compare with the Q2, this is, you know, up about 4 million.
Okay.
And if we look at, you know, quarter three of this year with quarter three of last year, the increase is about 6 million.
Okay.
And for 9 months, the increase is about 11 million. So this is only, I'm talking about, you know, the increase in the freight cost.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you have a similar thing for raw material increase?
Raw material increase, yes. So raw material increase in terms of, you know, value, I can give you some numbers, about 11 million if I compare with Q3 to Q2, that is the increase. And if I compare with last year, then it is about 15 million. And for 9 months, the raw material price, because of the raw material price increase, the impact is about, you know, 19 million.
All right. All right. Also, I missed the opening remarks, so I'm not sure if you added this, but could you also...
I would request you to please increase the volume of your device or speak a little bit louder.
Am I audible?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so could you also give us the revenue, EBITDA and PAT numbers for all your subsidiaries?
Which subsidiary you want?
Evox.
Evox. Okay. Yeah, so Evox, the top line is 47 million, EBITDA is 12 million, and PAT is 1 million.
Okay.
For this JC Biotech, it's 92 million, EBITDA of 32 million, and PAT of 16 million.
16, is, right?
Yeah, 1-6, right.
All right. Oh. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Saha from Savat, a SEBI registered investment advisor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding what is the progress on probiotic that we launched for COVID packaging in Indian market, as we have taken considerable amount of investment in the market in that. So is there any material development for this?
The audio is not clear from your line, so please use the handset mode.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry about that. So my question is regarding the probiotic that we launched for COVID fatigue in Indian market. So what is the development on that front? Because we understand that we have also incurred many marketing expenses and marketing tires in this particular quarter. And this product has done considerably well in US market. So what is the development on this front for the Indian market?
So, Deepak, the revenues are still like negligible of the products which we are in the B2C segments in the Indian market in few lakhs, which is not really significant. We are still working. We are still new. And generally, like in the B2C segment, it takes long time. For example, in US also, our presence is there from last 7-8 years, and now the revenues are shaping up. So, we don't expect too much of revenue this year and maybe next year from this B2C segment.
And do we consider any change in our marketing strategy in order to ramp up the revenue numbers?
So marketing, we are like really focusing. We are really increasing the people and the areas of focus, particularly like in the last quarter, we are really built up the team for the animal feed. Particularly for the Asian market, we have started some people in Asian market. We have taken some people for the European market as well, and we are like focusing on the European markets, how it can be done. Our focus is already there in the US market, and we are working certain tie-ups for the food into the US market and how we can do it. Biocatalysis is a little bit slow. Most of the market is in India, but at this point of time, it's like all the logistic which is spoiling, where the new products are not being able to launch, but we are continuing our research and developing our product portfolio to get the things normalized, and then we can really go forward into those areas. And in the probiotics, we already started in US, like most of our like probiotics are already moving into the rapid pace with our own brands, which is our ultimate target. So we are moving into the right direction. It's a certain time lags which are there.
Okay. And sir, if I look at the quarterly revenue number, that's quite tepid, and I understand all the reasons that you alluded are causing this problem. But just some clarity if you can share. Is there anything too much concerning on the demand side, or it's just a timely concern and it will normalize as and when the raw material availability and rising raw material prices, logistic challenges, everything settles down? Or is there anything concerning about the demand side, and accordingly we need to change our strategies and other part, or it's just a timely concern and it will settle down? If you can share some light on this thing as well.
Deepakji, I think it's the more as a time which is required rather than the demand as a problem on overall. Some of the problem is of course with logistics. For example, if I had to ship like animal products for $1 a kg to US, and if I had to give a 0.95 at the logistic cost to transport, of course I don't want that kind of a business, right? So some of the business is being delayed slowed down at this point of time, like because of those. Some of them are like the inventory problems which are there at this point of time, and I think this is the time is required rather than the real demand as a problem. You are still not able to travel. For example, I haven't traveled anywhere overseas from last two years and 3 months, and probably like this is the time, maybe from the March we should be able to start traveling. So these are all the timing problems, and I feel like 1 or 2 quarters further we require the things to normalize.
Okay. And so my last question is regarding the specialized segment. We see a substantial growth on the specialized segment, nearly about 30%. And considering such kind of growth and because of the synergy that we have created with our recent acquisition, so do we foresee this particular segment contributing higher revenue in the coming quarters, or any strategic change for this particular segment to the overall revenue front, or in anything else as far as this particular segment, specialized manufacturing, is concerned, to better the overall revenue trend?
Yeah, so in the specialized margin front, like the raw material cost has significantly gone up, but the good part is we can like pass on this cost to the customers, consumers. At the same time, like we are really working on the growth. Particularly, this specialized company, like which is SciTech, has done another joint venture in the African market for their products to be launched in the African areas, and maybe I think this will grow. We are on the target, whatever the revenue targets we anticipated before acquisition, and on the other points. There is somewhat like slowness on like converting our products into the new kind of a drug delivery kind of a products, and because of like little bit of slowness into the market and because of the travel problem, like we were like targeting like our food enzymes we can make into the different tablets and capsules and we can supply, but those areas are a little bit like on a slower, but rest of the things are at a good pace, and as such like this business is really growing.
Okay, and all these situations we anticipate that it should normalize by first quarter of next year, right?
It should start normalizing by the first quarter. And I think like 1 or 2 quarters more is needed.
Okay, and we stick to the same margin that we stuck to during the last quarterly con call, somewhere around 45 to 48% or 41 to 48%, right? EBITDA margins,
yeah.
I speak about.
That's right.
No changes. Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you, sir. That's from my end, and all the best for the remaining quarter of the year. Thanks.
Thank you, Deepakji.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, again, prodding little more on the demand side. So we have seen the cost pressure continuously over the last 2 to 3 quarters. So is it difficult for the customer to take on these price increases on a sequential basis? And that's one of the reasons why there has been an impact apart from the other issues such as logistics that you pointed out.
Rohit, I think like I'm not able to hear you. Can you please repeat?
Sorry. Is it better, sir?
There is some background voice.
A background disturbance, yes.
Is it better? Just a minute. Just a minute. Hello?
Yeah,
is it better?
Yes.
Sir, in terms of the increase in input cost, so we have seen that in the last 2-3 quarters there has been continuous increase, and probably there is some resistance from the customers to absorb these costs, and that's the reason there has been an impact on our performance apart from the logistics cost that you mentioned, or challenges that you mentioned.
Rohit, there are like always a product mix. That is also like one of the factors which is contributing to the higher raw material cost at this point of time. At the same time, in many areas, for example, like the anti-inflammatory areas and other areas, we come under significant market share, and that is not advisable to increase the cost when the competition is on the doorstep. So we consciously decided not to pass on the raw material cost, and whichever the areas we can pass on, we started doing it. But in our business, generally, we don't pass on, right? So we are working on it. The areas like nutraceuticals, specialized business, we started passing on.
Right. Got it. So just an allied question. So in such a case when the demand is not met by us, is it that the overseas customers are taking the material from the local customers for the time being? I mean, just our assessment, or is there any substitute which is available?
So if you really look at it, whatever our international business is, those we are keeping at the same level or increasing. Right? The problem which is coming up is more on the domestic front at this point of time. And some of the areas which we wanted to grow the market. Right. So these are the real challenges rather than the real export market. Because we are like taking on all the logistic costs at this point of time, it is happening some of the margin, but still we are not losing the business.
Right. So got it. So just a little bit on each of the segment, if you could just provide some indicative understanding in the recent past across the segment. We have seen that human nutrition has come down, but other segments have done exceptionally well. So just thoughts on each segment, and how are we seeing the dynamics? Is there any change in the last couple of quarters, and what are expectations in near future?
So I didn't say like this is many things are like quarter on quarter basis. We cannot really judge it whether this has gone up or gone down, because the business nature is not such that every month the same sale will be there for this. In some of the months, like some product goes higher, in some of the months, the other product goes up. Now, human has gone down to certain level because the contribution of new segment, which is there like at the SciTech, which is we categorize as a special, special business. Yeah. So, but Raukaji, you can give some more inputs on this.
No, so that's what I am saying. As Mukund has mentioned on quarter to quarter, I mean, there is not going to be any kind of change in the strategy. We still stick to our growth drivers, which we have earlier shared with you, that our focus will continue to be on biocatalysis, then on B2C segment, particularly in international market, and apart from that, probiotics. In baking industries, we have mentioned to you about, the kind of a growth, and animal feed business, we have explained that, over a period of time, we are working on, getting our products registered in various countries, appointing distributors and expanding our marketing and sales team. So our growth driver still, that is a long-term, growth kind of a strategy where we are working. So one or two or three quarters, like, it doesn't really make any sense to think about any kind of a change, because you always work on your growth. So these are like some kind of a challenges. You know, the sales is not like picking up because of several reasons, which as Mukund has already explained. And logistics is the big issue. Input cost is up. Then, you know, the market has in past accumulated a lot of inventory. So they are also like liquidating their inventories. So for the timing overall, you know, the sale growth for us is, you know, slow in that sense. But as we look at, you know, our bifurcation of international or domestic market share, marketing sales, sorry. So the domestic market is down, but yes, international sale is going up. That shows that, you know, we always have been telling that our focus is more on the global market, because that is a big market. Indian market for the enzymes, whatever, you know, in human nutrition is already dominated by, you know, us. And of course, it is only growing to 6 to 7%, which is, you know, a kind of a growth in this particular market. But the other opportunities are big and the growth potential is high. So we are continuously working on that. And unfortunately, this 2 years being exceptional year and very difficult to say anything, you know, what really went wrong. And, you know, you keep on talking about several reasons. But then I think once we see some kind of a normalcy, which is like, you know, most likely now may happen, you know, from the first or second quarter of FY23, as Mukund has explained. So we hope the growth will come going forward.
Right. So just to probably summarize, FY22 has been in transition. Probably first half of FY23 also will be in transition when the external environment will more or less normalize. And FY24 would be the year when we'll have the effect of normalization of the external environment, as well as the growth which will come from the initiatives that we are currently taking in and the products that we are working on. Is that a right assessment?
Yeah, so as and when the all economy opens, everyone has to rush, because, you know, everyone is waiting for the right time now. Unfortunately, sometime back, you know, when everyone realized now things are opening up, then what again happened, you know, we all know. So we lost this time in this sense. So very difficult to say in terms of, you know, one or two or three quarters. But yes, we always say that we have been on our path, and we are confident that going forward, I think things will turn out to be normal. And as you all are analysts, you have been interacting with so many companies, probably you can give better insight to us that what exactly is, you know, happening with this present scenario, where whether one can really comment on it or not. That's a really, you know, another challenge we are also facing.
Right. Got it. And thanks for all the answers and best of luck, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. Wanted to understand on this SciTech, first of all, SciTech recent acquisition, what was the thought process behind that? And secondly, on this existing business, I mean, SSPL is doing, I would say, pretty well as of now. The numbers are looking good in terms of revenue. Where we can see this number scaling forward in next 2 years, or especially for this SSPL?
Yes, Rohit. I mean, I think as far as the synergy is concerned, as we already mentioned to you, it's a specialized manufacturing company with the technology of, you know, effervescent and various other technology they have developed over a period of time. And this was like, you know, thought to have one other way of delivering our novel products through this, you know, technology. So we shall be like, you know, that was one way of looking at, because we already have presence in B2C segment in USA and India. We wanted to expand, so that's where we already started. So it would be really helpful, and you know, we can use this particular subsidiary company and their expertise and technology. And SSPL, how much they can grow? Like, you know, if I really look at my 9 months number of SSPL for this year and compare with the previous year, it is growing about 30%. And we are definitely, you know, expanding that company. We are also investing some more money in CapEx. The company is now kind of a self-sustained company with a very low debt. So going forward, again, this company, we will be expanding the manufacturing capacities of, and we should be in a position to grow by 25 to 30% as far as the SSPL is concerned.
Okay, okay. Fair enough. And sir, just maybe a wild thought, but is it that in order to expand SSPL, we are somehow restricting our growth in this human nutraceutical business, or they are going?
No, those both are independent. Rather, like, you know, SSPL now, as Mukund has already mentioned, that, you know, one particular area of work where we have been, like, you know, working with them, it's like, you know, kind of you can say slowdown, because the overall, you know, issues are different now in last 2 years. So you want to develop something new, but you have several other challenges, because industry is also, like, you know, somehow looking at just somehow to go with the flow. So nobody wants to take a new challenge in this last 2 years. That is what is our observation. So many more products which we have, like, you know, working on it, but now adoption of those products in a different forms by the industry is, like, you know, itself a challenge, because of several things in addition to the logistic. So, I mean, you know, that is independent. They have their own resources. It is kind of, you know, not at all a kind of, you know, blocking our growth. Yes, our growth is something which we have been working, and this year the particular growth number, why whatever number, because you might be looking at, you know, whatever growth has happened, it is mainly contributed because of the number of SSPL, right? So the organic growth, particularly in this year, is tapered off because of, you know, COVID situation, and because of the inventory built up in the past by a couple of, you know, nutraceutical companies. So couple of, like, you know, reasons has really hampered the growth during this particular year.
Okay, okay. And sir, just some thought on that, the acquisition of SSPL in recently, what the small company SSPL has acquired.
Sorry?
The recent filing is there.
SSPL is going to contribute some stake in African companies, because that particular company is again into that, you know, nutraceutical business, right? As Mukund has already explained. So that will help SSPL and to us to expand again, you know, our marketing reach to African countries. So they are based in Africa, and they will help us to, you know, market the products of SSPL as well as of Advanced Enzymes, because that's where, you know, we have been telling that, you know, we are working on, like, several novel ideas of delivering our products. So we will, like, you know, again use that as an opportunity to expand that African continent market.
Okay, okay, sir. And any idea about the market size opportunity there for us?
So for us, it is, like, you know, it's a big opportunity. That's what it is. But in terms of, you know, if you will ask me numbers and all that, I think right now I won't be in a position to give you that number.
Okay, okay. No issues. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Saraf for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sadhan. Thank you, everyone, for taking your valuable time for attending our conference call. We will keep you posted for any further updates. I request you all to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered in the call. The transcript of this conference call will be uploaded on our website in the due course. Looking forward to host you all in the next quarter. Till then, stay healthy, stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Advanced Enzyme Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.